The Lessons Learned for Vets podcast is proud to be brought to you by AFMA, the American Armed Forces Mutual Aid Association. Established in 1879, they are the longest standing nonprofit association empowering military families with affordable financial solutions for generations, offering life insurance, wealth management, mortgages, survivor assistance, and other benefits. AFMA is here to support you through every stage of life. AFMA is dedicated to helping service members be financially and logistically ready for life after the military. To support you in this process, AFMA would like to offer you their free downloadable transition timeline, a step-by-step guide to help you create a comprehensive military transition plan. Let AFMA help you get ready for your next step by visiting AFMA.com/LL4V, that's AAFMAA.com/LL4V, or clicking the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast, your military transition debrief from the veteran mentors who have gone before you. My name is Lori Norris, and I've been teaching veterans how to successfully navigate their military transition since 2005. I'm bilingual, but instead of a foreign language, I'm a civilian who speaks the language of all branches of the U.S. military. I've used this unique skill to help thousands of veterans, and today I want to help you navigate the hidden opportunities and unseen risks you may face during your own transition from the military. This is the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast.
I live by two rules. I'm pretty sure you do, at least the first one. Okay. If you don't get on average, if you don't get an interview, it's the fault of the resume. If you don't get the job, it's the fault of the interview. Okay. On average, we can, you know, I mean, we can nitpick everything and there's always exceptions. So if you've applied, and it's funny because I see this a lot too, where I'll send somebody, you know, they send me a resume. Okay, here are my tips. Do this, do that. And then I send it back to me when it's done. And they send it back to me. It's the same resume. It's literally the same resume.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did you just, oh, no, I changed it. And then they get belligerent. I changed it. Okay, bro, you did all right. That's fine. You know what? Yeah, maybe if you had some skin in the game. Maybe you would take it serious because you've applied for 25 jobs and you haven't gotten an interview.
Welcome back to part two of the Lessons Learned for Vets podcast with Alfredo Torres. If you haven't yet listened to part one, I recommend you hit pause and listen to the first episode with Alfredo before coming back. However, this is a great episode where Alfredo and I talk about the resume. Subjects like, should you pay for a resume? And what are our best tips to ensure your resume is effective? I know that writing a resume can be a struggle for veterans during their military transition. There's a wealth of information out there, but much of it is conflicting and confusing. This is why I created the Veteran Resume Self-Inspection Checklist. You can download this 11-item checklist that will help you evaluate if your resume is ready to send to employers. It is full of strategy and information, and you can access it for free at www.next4vets.com. That is NEXTFORVETS.com. You and I, last time we talked, you said, I believe that no veteran should ever pay money for a resume.
No.
And I told you that I contend that free resumes are not the answer.
Right.
So I feel like we need some common ground because I don't feel like the copy paste template, mass produced free resume is doing anyone any good. I believe that's a great starting point. Mm-hmm. It's a launch pad. But let's talk about that because the resume is a stumbling block.
Right. And now here's my thing. Okay. And I'm a certified professional resume writer. Okay. That's part of the initials after my name. You know what we can charge hourly or per resume. Say $300 just to give it a number. Right. I charge you $300 to give you this resume. And you got it. And it looks beautiful. And now what's the first thing you need to do? You need to rewrite it. Because now as you apply for jobs, you need to tailor that resume to the job. Right? So you're not coming back to me to get you to write that resume, because now I'm going to charge another $300. So that's number one. Number two, resumes are subjective. The resumes that I've written, that I've helped people write, have gotten people jobs. Mm-hmm. The resumes that I've helped people write have not gotten people jobs. Yep. Because it's subjective. Number three, purpose of a resume is to get you an interview, not to get you a job. So if I am applying for a job, then odds are I need money. So do I have the money to spend on something that's not a guarantee to get me a job? Mm-hmm. Now, when we're talking about resumes, I'm talking about a basic resume. There are some resumes that I definitely would say go pay for, because they're just too hard to get started. An executive resume, a CV would be one. If you're looking at any of the, what I call the O positions, so COO, CFO, any mm-hmm. of those, mm-hmm. you know, that are going to give you those mid to high six figure, seven figure, yeah, drop the money on it, because at that point, a person can help you guide it. Because now you're dealing into areas that most people don't deal with. But for the average Joe getting out, who's dealing with a recruiter, who deals with hundreds of resumes, who's looking at one for 6 to 8 seconds, mm-hmm. I don't think you need to pay for it.
So let's address a couple of those things that we talked about. So you said, first of all, like, why would you pay for a resume that you just have to change, right? Mm-hmm. So I will tell you right now, you shouldn't have any resume prepared that isn't a targeted resume, right? So I know mm-hmm. in TAP, they teach you to create a master resume.
Sure.
To me, that should never see the light of day. That master resume should be nothing other than a place for you to house all of your information as a veteran. Mm-hmm. No one, no employer should ever receive your master resume.
I agree.
Yeah. So I think that it is probably a waste of your time and possibly your money to go pay for a resume that doesn't have a focus. If someone lets you pay them to write a generic, general resume, so mm-hmm. that'll appeal to everyone, you should run the other direction, because that's never going to get you an interview, right? So that general overview resume, not going to work. Right. So always, before you even sit down to write a resume, or even if you take advantage of the free services out there, go into this process knowing the kind of job you're targeting. Otherwise, you're going to come out with a resume that needs to be rewritten every time you apply to a job.
Right.
Yeah. So, and I agree with you. Resumes are very subjective. You show it to 10 people, you're going to get 10 different opinions. 10
answers. Yep. Yep.
And what I always tell people, and my listeners have heard this before, is if someone says, hey, you need to change this on your resume, and you say, well, tell me why. If they can't give you a reason why, that's an opinion.
I
think beards are sexy and I think beards are terrible, right? That's like the difference, right? It's like two different opinions.
Right. And I tell people that all the time when I'm helping them. I'm going, look, I will always give you a reason why I'm telling you to do X, Y, or Z. Yep. And you don't have to like the reason. You don't have to agree with the reason. You don't have to even accept the reason. You could think I'm BSing you. That's part of the subjectiveness.
Absolutely.
And that's cool. And I tell, you know, when I'm done helping somebody, I say, now, if you want to take everything I said and throw it out the window, that's fine. You're not going to offend me. You're not going to bother me. You're not going to hurt my feelings, because it's subjective. So, yeah. And I always tell them that, too. If you go to somebody else and they tell you to do something, ask them why. And if they can't give you a reason, then say, all right, you know what? Cool. Thank you. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Have a nice day. Yep.
And then the last thing I want to tell you about is like the whole, you know, resume is meant to get you an interview. And you're right. That's the only job a resume does for you, right? Is gets you a foot in the door, gets you that mm-hmm. interview. And so I will tell you that you need to be an active participant in the process of creating that resume, because I can't tell you how many people I've sat down with. We've looked at their resume and I'm like, hey, tell me about this line on your resume. And they're like, I don't really know what that means. The person that wrote my resume just put that in there. And right. Do you think that interview is going to be over at that point?
Oh yeah. You're going to get that 5 minute in, you know, oh, whoa, cool. Tell me about this. Yeah. Have a great day.
Make sure you know everything on that resume and you can speak to it in that interview. Right.
But but I also think the kind of people that you're servicing and the people that I direct that line to are two different types of people. I'm directing that line to a 22-year-old.
Yep.
Who did four years. Who, you know what? He's going to be fine with my resume. You're probably dealing again with people with those looking for those O jobs. You know, the COO, CFO, CEO, who for them, yeah, it's worth the investment to make sure that it looks right and that the key industry words there are right and that it's speaking to it, like you said, it's targeted. Right. You know, I'm not even looking to be the CEO. I'm looking to be the CEO of Ford. And that's who I'm talking to, and they need a resume, you know. And again, for CVs, to get a good CV, yeah, I would pay for that because I've written a CV and they suck.
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
And, I would say you get what you pay for. That's my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. I had, when I was teaching TAP, I had a guy come through that received a Groupon for a $50 resume and he brought it to me. And he said, I want to show you something. He laid his resume down and he laid his EPR, enlisted performance report from the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And he laid the two of them down and he said, look at this. And what they basically had done is taken EPR bullets right off of his military eval and put it on the resume, but formatted it to look like a resume. Mm-hmm. And he paid $50 for that. And it didn't make any more sense on his resume.
A
civilian reading a military eval.
Right.
And so again, you just have to realize that. And so I don't talk a lot about my resume services because I don't need to. So I will just tell you to do your due diligence. See who's helping you.
Right.
Do they speak the language? Right.
Right.
And, or are they just going to put your military bullets and make it look pretty like a civilian resume? Because that's not going to work for you.
Right.
You know,
and you know what? And there's some people, honestly, that to me, they have to go and pay for it because they're not getting it. Just nice and simple. And you know what? Again, I can only spend so much time with you.
Yeah.
I'm not a caseworker. Yeah. So it's like, here, I'm trying to show you. If you get it, great. And if you don't, I'm going to send you to another resource provider who does resume stuff. At some point, you might just have to say, you know what? Let me shell out a couple bucks and talk to a professional who could sit there and spend time with me, you know, one-on-one.
Absolutely.
So
I just wanted to kind of get your thought on that process because it is something that's tossed around out there. There is no one right way to do a resume.
No.
Right? And there's lots of opinions.
But that's with everything about transitioning. Mm-hmm. The minute that you go and have to be in front of people, it's all subjective. How you dress is subjective. Mm-hmm. How you talk is subjective. How you present yourself is subjective. And so, you know, there's no right or wrong way to do any of this stuff. Now, there are best practices. One that, you know, we'll say on... for an interview, if you're a male, right, and it's a standard interview, wear a conservative shirt, white or blue. Mm-hmm. That's a standard practice. Okay. Right. Everybody goes with that. But now, do you wear a flashy tie? Do you wear a colorful tie? That's subjective. Trust me, if I was doing a job interview, this would all be gone. But no, I mean,
it's subjective. Some people say you have to cover your tattoos. Some people say, let them see them. So it really is, like you said, it's a lot of things are subjective.
Right.
I will tell you though, that so let's talk about maybe just between you and I, let's give some tips on residents.
Between you and I and everybody who's listening.
Everybody that listens. But I'm just saying, like, let's you and me work together. What does a good resume need to have?
Metrics.
Okay, so measurable accomplishments. Like, what did you do to make it better, more efficient?
Right.
Save costs, right? How many people did you manage? What's the dollar value of the equipment that you processed, right? So absolutely, dollar signs, percentages, numbers, so
quantify and quantify and qualify.
Absolutely. What else?
Number one. What else on a resume?
I got one. Focus. We already talked about it. But your resume has to have a focus.
Right.
It's got to just have relevant information. If you make an employer dig for the good stuff, they're going to move on. They're not going to dig.
Here's one, and this might be one that we disagree upon, and that'll be fine. To me, everything is in bullet format, with the exception of your professional summary. And I'll tell you why. Bullet format, small, easily digestible piece of information. I know it where it begins and I know where it ends.
Yep.
When you give that resume to a recruiter who has looked at 40 resumes before you and has to look at 40 resumes after yours, they don't want to dig in a paragraph.
Yep. I almost 100% agree with you, except for I will let you have a small paragraph for your summary and a small paragraph under each job that gives me a scope of your responsibilities. But no more than two or three lines, right? And for that. But I agree with you on bullets. Studies show that when you skim a paragraph, you read the first and the last line. But when you skim a bullet as a group of bullets, you'll read the first 3 to 5 words. So you're going to get more of your resume read when you use bullets. Absolutely. But there is such a thing as death by bullets, right?
Sure.
So I would also tell you no more than 7 bullets per job.
I wouldn't even go that far. I would say
that's like pushing it, right?
Yeah. I would say like your first job should have 6, 7. Your second job should have 5. Your third job, because what you did 15 years ago is irrelevant.
We're not even going to put that on there. But.
Right. Yeah. Why are you even bothering with this?
We're just giving a master class in resume writing today. Okay, what's yours?
Right. For free. Come on. You guys should definitely send Lori some money because she charges for this. Okay. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Bold the numbers. And here's why I say that. Like you said, when you're skimming, right? And a lot of times you're looking and things don't stand out. But now, and I'm going to take you through the process, and it happens instantaneously. We all know recruiters look at a resume 8 to 10 seconds.
Yep.
That's universal. Every resume writer who's ever opened up a book on how to write a resume will tell you that. So what's the key? The key is to keep your eyes on the resume, right? The longer they look at the resume, the more they're thinking about you in that position, the more likely you are to get invited to the interview, assuming that the resume is hitting the targets that they're looking for. So you have a sea of words that all look the same. They're all the same pitch. They're all the same font. I'm looking through it for this resume. My eyes are tired. Nothing standing out. I'm chucking it. But now I'm looking at the resume and all of a sudden I see budget of $8 million. Bold.
Right.
Well, now my eyes stop because it caught me. Now I have to go and figure out what the hell does this budget of $8 million mean? Now I'm going to go read the sentence, right? Because why do you have this bold? Why is this jumping at me? So now I look at that sentence and I put it in, you know, maintained an inventory worth $8 million without a loss over 12 months. Well, now that just opened up a whole new world for me that now, and we're going to assume that bullet is relevant to the job interview. I mean, to the job posting, right? Well, now, not only did you just make me read this because my curiosity about this budget of $8 million or this $8 million figure, which was glowing out of the resume, brought me in. Now I put it in context And so what happens? I'm spending more than those 6 or 8 seconds, right? Because I got to read it. I got to understand it. I got to put it in context. Is this relevant? Yeah, this is relevant. Let me see what else he has or she has that's relevant. And so now I go back to scanning, and now I get to the next figure, right? Which is bolded. Same thing. And if you wrote your resume right and everything is focused the way it's supposed to be, you're more than likely you're going to get the interview.
I would say that one other thing with numbers is always use a number. So I know that the rules of grammar are you spell out 1 through 10, throw that out the window, and always use a number so that it because when the eye is skimming a sea of words, those numbers are really going to help you stand out, especially if, like you said, they're bolded. And I would say, you know, we talked about metrics, like front load your bullets with those metrics. Start right off with, you know, saved $3 million or reduced safety incidents 27%, because people are going to read the beginning of that bullet. And then if that's also bolded, like you said, with your metrics being bolded, that makes it even more impactful.
Right.
So, all right. Well, we don't want to give away all our secrets.
No.
Because you got to come see us, right?
Exactly.
But I think those are good starts. One last thing I want to talk about is, so the other day, I wrote a resume for somebody and he got an $80,000 raise. The job that he went from one to the other was $80,000. The price that he paid was 0.5% of the raise, not his total salary, but his raise. Mm-hmm. And so put it into context of the value. Right. And so,
you just saw my eyes open up when you said that. I'm not going to.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So I think that what I want you to think about is this, is that if you send your resume out to jobs that you are qualified for, if you go through and you say, 80%, 70% of these, I meet those qualifications, and you send your resume out and you get nothing back. Number one, you should also be networking to increase your probability of getting a call back. But number two, most likely you're not communicating your experience, your value, your cost effectiveness as an employee correctly. You need some help. Go call Alfredo.
No, I'll tell you that. At that point, you've already probably talked to Alfredo. And now that you call Lori, because... Because obviously this is at the point where I would say you need, you need professional paid help. I live by two rules. I'm pretty sure you do, at least the first one. Okay. If you don't get on average, if you don't get an interview, it's the fault of the resume. If you don't get the job, it's the fault of the interview. Okay. On average, we can... You know, I mean, we can nitpick everything and there's always exceptions. So if you've applied, and it's funny because I see this a lot too, where I'll send somebody, you know, they send me a resume. Okay, here are my tips. Do this, do that. And then I send it back to me when it's done. And they send it back to me. It's the same resume. It's literally the same resume.
Yep.
And I'm like, did you just, I changed it. And then they get belligerent. I changed it. Okay, bro, you did all right. That's fine. You know what? Yeah. Maybe if you had some skin in the game, maybe you would take it serious because you've applied for 25 jobs and you haven't gotten an interview, you know? And if you were tailoring your resume, or if you were, you know, if you'd stop sending your references, or, you know, use some bullets and not 18 paragraphs. I'm not trying to read War and Peace. I'm trying, you know, you know, at that
6-page resume doesn't work for you.
Oh, geez. that's an example. So I think it was a couple of weeks ago, you know, guy sends me three pages and I'm like, okay, first thing we got to do is knock it down to 2 pages. So here are my recommendations, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Sends it back and it's 4 pages. I was like, are you sending me 2 resumes? Because why did this grow? Well, I did what you said. I said, No, you didn't. You added what I said to what you already had. Right. Anyway, yeah, we could talk about that kind of stuff all day.
We could. You know, one of the reasons I started this show is just to give a platform to people to tell their stories, like what worked, for you and what didn't work for you. And I feel like, you know, just the resume tips that we just shared over the last 10 minutes sometimes is more than they get in the TAP program.
Oh, you know, I've heard 100%. Stories. So. I trust me, I do too. You know, I get a lot of people at a TAP who come to me, you know, and they'll, or TAP will say, hey, if you're going to go do this, go see, you know, Mr. Torres and he'll help you out. And they come over there and I'll give them basic stuff. I haven't even talked about let's sit down and do your resume. I tell them basic general resume stuff and they're blown away.
Yeah.
They're like, I didn't know that. Because how did you not know that? You know, this is the stuff before we even look at a resume that you need to know.
They're just not teaching it.
Yeah. Anymore. Yeah. And it's,
I think they're doing a separate resume class and they have enough trouble going to TAP, getting the time off to go to TAP. They're not going to go back and go to a resume class.
Well, and it's funny because I got a chance to look at the TAP book last year and the stuff for resumes that was in the TAP book is outdated.
The examples. And
yeah,
you know, I
you're looking at
2016, but
right. Well, these were like examples of stuff that was probably still 2005.
That was bad.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, okay, I mean, I get that the military's behind, but you can't be behind when it comes to the transition. These are people's lives that we're talking about.
So I want to get you back to helping your Virginia veterans. Uh-huh. But I just want to hear about what you would say are your biggest lessons learned, whether it's in your transition or in your work with veterans. What are some of like your key lessons that you want to share with the listeners today?
Key lessons. Number one, be humble. This is especially for the seniors, senior enlisted, senior officers. Be humble. Nobody cares when you get out there. Nobody cares about your rank. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about your Bronze Star with Valor. It doesn't mean anything. Now, there's always exceptions. So for the one person who's going to yell at you, say, you know what, Torres is full of crap, Robert. There's always exceptions. But the average person doesn't even know, you know, let alone care. So be humble. Number two, be open. And by be open, I mean be open to feedback and be open to what you're feeling inside. You know, again, you see me on LinkedIn and there are a lot of people who tell me, you know, you're extremely open about everything, which I am, but that maybe I shouldn't do that on LinkedIn. Because LinkedIn is supposed to be more professional. That's me. And if that helps me to connect to people, which apparently it does, I'll let you be the judge of that because you're the one who receives what I put out. Yep. If that helps me to connect to people and helps them to realize, A, they're not alone, B, there's people out there who understand, then to me, that's more important than looking, quote unquote, professional. If I wanted to really look professional, I wouldn't have this beard. Okay. Makes me look more like a biker than it does like a businessman. Number three is be self-aware as best you can. As best you can. Understand what you're going through. I got diagnosed with PTSD 4 years ago. I've had it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I'm a person who's extremely self-aware. And I was lying to myself because I knew there was something that was wrong. I just didn't want to deal with it. Okay. Understand that when you don't want to deal with these things, that they affect you and they affect your loved ones. I always say about the hard time I had with a transition and almost being homeless and suicidal and having my wife divorce me and all this kind of stuff. I got a hand in that too.
Yep.
I got to, you know, and I got to own that, you know, when I tell people about the divorce and I'm not going to go into it here. People are like, wow, that's messed up. And yeah, it is messed up, what my ex-wife did to me, but I got a hand in that. You know, we didn't get married at a convenience. We got married because we loved each other. And at some point the love faded away and I have a hand in that.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest about that. And part of that came from the fact that I was being a jerk. And why was I being a jerk? Because I had PTSD and I didn't want to deal with it. And I didn't want to face it.
Right.
So my actions were affecting my loved ones, which again affected my relationships. It affected my ability to hold a job. It affected, you know, all these other things, my mental state. And it was because I didn't want to admit, even though I knew. And so if you're self-aware and you understand that you're doing things that you know aren't right, well, go take care of them.
Fix it.
Be honest about it. Fix it. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people there to help. And so those would be the biggest things.
I think that is a great place for us to wrap up for today. It has been a pleasure. I think
it's been wonderful. I feel like I owe you more humor. Like we got a little too serious on some things, and I feel like the people who are listening to this, like, Alfredo wasn't funny this time. What's going on?
Well, you know, I think that we covered some important subjects. I think we need to do a monthly resume riff where we, you know, bounce resume ideas off each other. So,
again, you say you don't need it. So I don't want to take away from your business. But I'm not getting people $80,000 raises. So. You know, but I'll tell you this, if I decide that I want an $80,000 raise,
you come see me.
Oh, yeah, damn right.
I mean, you might have to change careers, but
That's fine. That's fine. You know what? You're going to give me an $80,000 raise?
What I told him is I'll just take 5% of that as a bonus. Thank you very much. And I never heard from him again. It was the weirdest thing. No.
See, you know what? That I'll tell you real quick, but that's another thing. You know your success rate, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, I don't. Because most people come to me and they get their stuff and then they go away. And the problem with in my line of work is that a lot of them, once they find the job, they're good. So they just go away. It's like, whoa, wait, let me know. Did I help you? Was it?
Well, I do and I don't, right? Because I do offer a guarantee with my resumes. I can't guarantee you a job because I can't go to the interview for you.
Right, right, right.
But I offer a guarantee for interviews. And I've been doing this for 15 years and I've only ever had two people come back in 15 years. Wow. So I do know my success rate to an extent. Do I track, you know, metrics? Does everybody call and tell me they got an $80,000 raise? No, but I've only ever had two times where someone came back and, well, I will say three times, but one of them, she was applying to be a doctor and she didn't even have a bachelor's degree. So.
Yeah.
So she wasn't really qualified for the job.
She wasn't self-aware.
There you go.
Is what she wasn't.
Well, it has been a pleasure. We may not have laughed as much as we did the last time we talked, but I think it was very informative and hopefully helps some veterans and transitioning service members out there.
I hope so. If anybody ever wants to get in contact with me, I'm on LinkedIn. You and I are connected, so they can reach out to you, and please feel free to connect them for anything. Just know at the very least that I'm an empathetic person. So if you just need somebody to listen, I'm more than happy to be there. I'll never turn my back on a veteran.
I'm going to put your LinkedIn URL in the show notes, because if you are in the process of transitioning, you need to follow Alfredo just for a shot of positivity and some good information. So,
and Paisley Friday, which is tomorrow. Paisley
Friday. Don't forget that. I feel like I have to go buy a Paisley shirt now so I can participate.
You have to. Tell me you don't see that picture and smile.
I looked and I have not one Paisley thing in my closet. So I have to go shopping now.
Well, I want you to go shopping now.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what the weather's like.
I have another podcast to record, so it may not happen. But
okay.
Well, okay. Alfredo, I really appreciate you joining me on the show, and I will definitely put that link in there for people to connect with you, because I think you are someone they absolutely should follow, and I appreciate everything that you put out.
Thank you. I appreciate you, and I appreciate this opportunity to talk. And for you to take the time to care enough about my story and think that people should hear it. So thank you for that, for this.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Lessons Learned for Vets. If you learned just one lesson today that you believe can help smooth your path during your transition from the military, then I have done my job. If you haven't already, please click subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. While you're at it, leave us a review and share our podcast with your friends. Connect with me on LinkedIn and join the Lessons Learned for Vets Facebook community to tell me what lesson you learned today. See you next time.